Hey, After Buzzers, before we move on, we would like to say thanks to our sponsor, Anchor. If you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. It's free, plus there's creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcast right from your phone or computer. Also, Anchor will distribute your podcast for you, so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and many more. Plus, you can make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership. And it's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Download the free Anchor app or go to anchor.fm to get started.
Black Lightning is back. Or is he? Let's talk about it.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
Here we come just to say today.
Here we come, just a perfect theme song.
It is.
Well, and it feels like here you're listening comes, just to say like today. Music like created within this universe as opposed to a theme song because they have the songs continuing throughout the show.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I'm hoping for a whole album at the end on vinyl so I can embrace my inner hipster. I'm about this.
Okay.
I'm about this.
What's up, guys? It's week 2, episode 2 of Black Lightning. We are so happy to be back. Thank you so much for all the love you guys have been showing us. My name is Drew Jones, and you can follow me on all the things at OK Drew J, and I could not do this without my girl. So what's up, guys?
Hey, guys. I'm Shay Jones. You can find me at Real Shay Jones on Twitter and Instagram, and the lovely lady next to me.
Hey, guys. I'm Joel Monique. You can find me all over the internet at Joel Monique, and every week at Black Girl Nerds, and to my left...
Hey, you guys. Portia, you can find me on all social media at Portia Carter. Thank you all so much for tuning in. We here.
Black Lightning here. So what did you guys think of this episode?
Yeah, so good. This show made my heart drop so many times. Like, I was watching it, and it's like my heart just kept dropping. Like, no. I mean, people was dropping like flies in this mud. Ooh, everybody dying. I was taken aback by a lot of it.
You know, I feel like I'm always nervous with a new show that I really, really like the pilot because the second episode is everything. Because the pilot obviously is the initial judgment, but the second episode lets you know if we're going up on this roller coaster, if we're just kind of like...
stagnating.
Yeah, we're just plateaued.
For sure.
And it went up.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. This episode, like, topped the first one, and I'm so hyped about it. And I love that this episode, we really got to dive into relationships and kind of see... a deeper, like, we saw Lynn and, we saw Lynn and Jefferson, we saw, you know, everybody's bays.
Yeah. Everybody made up. But lesbians!
Yeah.
Oh my god, yes.
Even, it was beautiful. Oh, well, when you speak about relationships, one thing about this show, it taught me that you can't build personal relationships with the people, the characters, because they hear one minute and they go on the next. So
they sure did.
Because, Game of Thrones us
like,
this episode.
I have built a whole relationship with LaWanda in my heart.
Aww.
Like, we were like this, you know what I'm saying? So I'm just like, you know what? From now on, I won't build a relationship with nobody else. And I had a little relationship with little homeboy, too, until he pulled his little stunt. Mm. So I'm just like, you know what? I can't trust these kids. I can't trust these people. Mm-mm. Everybody gone one minute. So I had to let it go.
I love Anissa's relationship with her girl. And can we talk about her being the first black superhero lesbian? Can we just like applaud that? Because
on television,
pow. So much love for like young progressive. And guys who don't know, yes, she is a lesbian. She was a lesbian in the comics. This is the first time they're mentioning it, though, just in case you were confused.
I didn't read the comics.
That's okay. I think a whole bunch of people in the chat probably did not ever pick up a comic.
But one relationship I have faith in, and I won't let the faith die, is Jefferson and Lynn.
Good luck, girl.
Over
it so fast.
Yeah.
I like how I hate on everybody. Why are you over it?
I'm over it because I loved the relationship so much. Remember, because that was my prediction for last time. I wanted them to get back together. Mm-hmm. And it was like, it took me on an emotional roller coaster that I'm sick of. Because one minute she down a ride for him, and the next minute she killing his dreams. You know what I'm saying? Like, one minute she's pumping him up about who he is and all that he can be and how he can be the savior of the community, and she's affirming him and she's supporting him, and then the next minute she going behind his back to Gambi talking about make that fool stop. And I'm just like, which side of the fish you going to be on? You going to support him and his strive to make the community better, or you going to be mad at it and keep walking away from him? Like, you gotta give or take. You can't be, you know, kissing his wounds and then the next minute walking off because he got him. Like,
this is what the the Baraka Keels do best. If you track all their shows from The Game to Being Mary Jane all the way back to Girlfriends, they're really good at building
this off and on relationships.
Well, not even on and off, but truthful relationships. Mm-hmm. Like the idea that I can love every part of you, even your superhero parts, even the part where you can shoot electricity out of your hands, but that I cannot wait up for you every night wondering if you're gonna come home. Like, that's why she waited 9 years. Like, I agree with you, because I was like, girl, this is a lot. Like, first of all, he is so good looking. Like, oh my god.
He's so hot.
Oh my god. And he loves you, and he's like a good human being. Like, what is the problem? But on the other hand, I understand, like, your relationship is your comfort zone. Yeah. Like, that is the place where you go to lay your head at night.
Yeah.
And so if you're not sure that that person is going to be there every single night, like, not even, like, one night you're kind of concerned. It's every night. Like, I don't know if you're coming home, and I don't want to raise these girls by myself, and I don't want to do this alone.
Right.
It's a lot to ask of a single person. So I get where Lynn is coming from. I don't know if I could do
But the thing is, relationships are about sacrifice. You got to die to yourself.
Yeah.
It can't be always me, me, me. If you're going to be in a relationship, you got to know there's some things that you have to put up with. Just like, you know, he's sacrificing too. He not with you in the bed every night. He out here saving lives. But it's for the betterment of y'all family, the community that y'all live in, because y'all chose this community. So in order for it to be safe and, you know, ain't nobody out here shooting my daughters, and I got to do what I got to do. And you either going to be there or you ain't.
Agreed. And he made a great point. He's like, listen, the girls are grown now. Like, yeah. It kind of invalidates a little bit her point of, like, that I'm not raising these babies alone. You don't really have to raise them
And if
anymore.
She don't keep calling this man superpower and addiction, I'm sick of it.
Yeah, well, this one,
go for it.
I totally disagree in the fact that it's addiction. I can't understand why she would think it is an addiction, only because she sees it in a bad light. Like, this is what your powers that I supported and I, you know, I championed for you all those years when we first met. It's now the thing that is drawing you away from me. And to some people, that can be seen as an addiction, because you're addicted to fighting for the people versus what you should be doing is fighting for your family.
Well, and flip that. Yeah. First of all, so she's a neuroscientist. So what she's talking about is, I think anyway, and I hope we get into it a little bit more, is like, the way you operate can be an addiction sometimes, even if it doesn't always seem harmful. If you cannot take care of yourself because you're helping other people, that is an addiction, and you, there are therapies for that. To be like, look, you the person have value, and if you need to stop and take a breath, if you need to, you know, just take a minute to take care of yourself, you're allowed that. You don't always have to put other people first. And I think, I'm not 100% sure, but I think that's the way that she's leaning. It's like, you put your whole body on the line, which then puts your family on the line, because if you die, part of us dies. And that putting yourself and your family in jeopardy is dangerous. And it can be harmful. Now, to Jefferson's point, that this is a gift from God, I really appreciated
right.
that
whole That's what
thought.
I like about that. And that's why I'm just like, there's a difference between an addiction and passion.
Yes.
If you are passionate about something, especially when it comes from God, because I know, like, a lot of my gifts do come from God and I operate in those gifts, but I do it with passion. I'm going to go all out because I feel like that's my purpose. When you're running after purpose, it's passion. It's not an addiction. Mm-hmm. Addiction is something that you can't get rid of, that's in a negative light. Passion is something totally different. If you're just like, you know, you have couples that work with nonprofits and charities and stuff like that. You're working all day on that charity and nonprofit. You're risking your sleep, your life, your family, all of that because you're operating in purpose, because you're trying to help people. Going and doing drugs and doing that all day and risking your family and your life, now that's addiction. It's totally different.
I think it's a thin line that separates the two, honestly. I've seen people who are genuinely passionate, who want to do good things, slip into bad habits or harmful habits.
And that is true.
And it doesn't necessarily have to be, I don't think, a negative connotation. I just think that, again, I just think the way it just viewed very differently. But I love that Jefferson was finally able to stand up for himself, because I was a little like, I was getting tired of him like getting beat around, like with everybody being like, this is such a problem. And for him to finally embrace, like, you know what? Like, I had to shut myself down for nine long, I think it's the time that really bugs me about their relationship. 9 long ass years of just like silence and suppressing a huge part of
who I am. To make you happy and
we
not even married.
And you're not even coming back. And like,
I'm not even getting no love. Like
I get a kiss and we can't even sleep in the same bed. Like, no.
This is, it's a lot.
Speaking of, go ahead. Sorry, I was going to say, somebody in the chat mentioned the fact that they said MLK was, like, what he had was an addiction. And it goes back to what you said about it being a passion, which is a totally different thing. A passion for civil rights, a passion to see men treated as equal, a passion to give, you know, freedom and peace back to Freeland.
Because you're helping people.
Because you're helping people, and helping people is not an addiction. Like I said, I can't see what she's saying. However, I don't agree with it at all. And but obviously, you know, you had some plus years, you got two kids with a man, and I can see how that pulls a toll on you. But after 9 years, I'm with your man. I can't wait for maybes no more. I can't sit here and put holding my powers back for 9 years on a maybe just to make you happy, because what makes you happy is making me miserable. It makes me happy, but it does make me fulfilled.
It's gotta be miserable to stand on the sidelines watching your community be hurt, knowing you can't have the power to do something and then not doing it.
Yeah, my heart hurts for him, because at the end of the day, I just want him to have real love, somebody who really cares about him. Because I slick even give Karen a shot, because I want to be there, you know, healing his wounds, giving him massages, taking care of him, kissing his lips, making sure he good at night.
Get in line.
Another couple that we're seeing kind of have a little bit of bump in the road. We see Anissa and her lady, looking all cute and whatnot.
Anissa lost so many points with me this episode, because, girl, I love you. I do so much. Like dark skin and lesbian, like, bring it home. but it's weird to me, because at first when she was talking about, like, you know, her girlfriend's like, I haven't met your family at all, and it's weird, and we've been together a whole year, again, with this time thing. I'm an impatient person. for your parents to be that comfortable, because when they're talking about it, like, they know the girl's name,
I thought Anissa hadn't met her family.
Hasn't met hers, but everybody knows, all of Anissa's family knows about the girlfriend.
Which is maddening, because then why are we not? I mean, like, oh, I'm busy is the worst cop-out ever in the history of the world. Like, if you want someone to be in your life, you won't make time for them. And so you're playing this girl dirty, and she is so into you. I feel bad. It's going to end badly.
I don't think she playing her dirty. I think she's just not on that. Like, public relationship stuff, and she probably just don't want to meet her family.
What does that mean?
I mean,
I think because her parents are divorced, she kind of like saw that break, and she feel like if she actually doesn't get a public relationship and it actually leads to something, she could end up like her parents, like, still pining after each other, that type of thing. She's not stupid. She's
apparently there's some brokenness within Anissa that she has to have healed. And in the meantime, while she's healing, she don't need no relationship, but since she's in one, that's what the person who loves her has to deal with.
Okay.
I will say, if they can't handle it right now that Anissa is tapping into these powers and it's about to be
the girlfriend superhero, ain't even a supporter of the power. She thinks she's crazy.
Yeah.
That is true.
It's
But how would she possibly know that what she has is superpowers? I feel like that's a huge leap to make. I also think that this girl's telling you straight up, like, hey, I'm going to need more eventually. Like, right now, you've suffered two traumas back to back. That's a lot for you to deal with. I'm going to, like, lay off of this. But eventually, what I need is a relationship. And she did every tap dance avoidance. I am innocent, and that's why I'm pissed off at her. Like, you need to know what you're dealing with. You're just hurting this girl. You need to leave her.
What I love about this episode is we see the aftermath of the kidnapping for both Anissa and Jennifer, who we'll get to in a second. But with Anissa, we see, whereas Jennifer kind of does the more self-medicating thing, we see Anissa's powers get activated in the last episode. In this episode, we're seeing her, like, stressed out. We're seeing a lot of anxiety, you know, not being able to sleep. And then at the end of the episode, we see her kind of have her badass moment where she throws old boy across the light.
Anissa said, I will not be afraid anymore.
Yeah, she's taking mugs out. She didn't even expect that. It just overcame her, like her daddy. She looked just like him when it happened.
Do you guys think that by suppressing their powers, they kind of build until they explode? Because we see that a little bit with her daddy, like, where he's like, you know, every time he's angry, his eyes go like white flashing lights. And then I think that her not being able to use her powers, or her powers just coming in, it's causing kind of all this anxiety, and her being able to sleep and all this stuff. And she's just so at peace afterwards when she uses them.
That look of satisfaction.
Just like, I don't even need this dope medicine anymore. I'm out.
No, she really was just like, I did that.
Peace.
Bye.
I did love Jefferson's the opening scene, half naked, but like his powers working through him.
Like, yeah, to like, heal him, the parts that were hurt.
Yeah, like that was awesome. Stuff I was paying attention to and all of that. Yeah.
And can you talk about Clifton Powell is like Reverend Holt, like giving an interview. Like, shout out to Clifton Powell because you're an icon. So, yes. And I was like, I was just like, wait, what's Clifton Powell doing here? Like, let me see what he's talking about.
I wasn't paying
today.
Attention to him.
I did not see. I was like, who?
I was like, I pay attention to all details. Yeah. Somebody in the chat, BlackMadge99, said, I think the way Jeff Rins it is, he feels like if he doesn't, his powers are meant to help, and if he doesn't use them, he feels just as bad as the criminals.
Yeah. Because it's like, imagine having the cure for cancer and just, like, helping people for so long and then just suppressing that for, like, nine years. Like, you have the key, and you're, like, that's almost selfish, is it not?
Yeah, which we totally see with, oh my gosh, LaWanda?
Yeah.
Like, that was so much to deal with, from the gym scenes to, God, the, like, not airbrush, but screen-printed t-shirt. If it had been airbrushed, I would have been like, this is hella throwback.
Yeah.
But screen-printed t-shirt with her baby girl on it, like, it was just... I'm with you. Like, I loved her instantly, and I had really hoped that she would stick around and be kind of this, like, mom force of the school. Yeah. Like, look, I expect action. And
because it was like she knew something that we didn't, you know?
Yeah.
It was like, because she was the one to stand up and talk, like, no, I'm not going for this. They opened up the motel. Soon as, you know, everything went down, it's back open, and then she meets with him after, and she's just like, look, I lost a lot. Showing him, you know, her husband had died, and then, you know, like, my daughter, she looking for her daddy and all these different men. She's going through a lot. She's crying the whole time. And she look at him and she say, you the one that can help her. Yeah. Like, we call you Black Jesus around here. We know you got this. And for him to just be like, no, I'm good, was just, like, heartbreaking. And then she went to those extremes because she wanted to save her baby, and she did the best that she know how. I believe that it was suicide. I believe she knew that she was about to be taken out, but at the same time, it's just like the passion within her to save her baby under by any means and save any other girl that could come after her by recording anything that's going to go down. Like, that was a big step, and it was really heart touching for me.
I loved how she used Jefferson's quotes against him. Like, he does, he does use his quotes to teach.
Yes,
and quotes are powerful. And the fact that she was like, "You, when I was here, you taught through quotes." But I have a quote for you. Unless all of us are free, none of us are free. And for me, that was a very powerful moment, because I'm like you guys. I felt for LaWanda at that moment, because when you live in the projects or you live in like let's just say an urban community, like, when things are bad, things are just bad, and you don't see, like, you can't see the way out. You can't see how it can be better when everything's around you is just shit.
It's just nothing. And then not only that, she made a good point, too. She, like, okay, so why your daughter saved and mine not? Because at the end of the day, like, when we in the hood and we going through that stuff and we seeing all these different things that are happening in our Black communities, some of us make it and some of us don't. Some of our cousins get killed and some of ours don't. Like, some of our brothers going to jail and some of our brothers not. And it's just like, we don't know what's going to happen next, you know?
Yeah.
And then for some of us to be fortunate and then some of us not to be, it's just like, well, what's wrong with me? And then now she feel like something is wrong with her. So now she feel like she ain't got nothing to live for. And that's probably why she did what she did. You know what I'm saying? It's just, it's hard. And it takes a toll on your mental. Like, it's a lot.
Yeah, I feel like this is a huge reflection of, like, kind of the community, like, now in real life where we see someone get out, and it's like, we're almost like, okay, are you going to come back and help the rest of us? Because we don't necessarily have a justice system that's, like, out here working with us. It's working against us. And the only people we really can depend on are one another. Like, I remember growing up in my neighborhood, and it wasn't just, like, my mama, like, if she was at work, it wasn't just, like, me and my siblings. Like, we had our neighbors, or there's a lady, you know, across the street or whatever. It's a very, like, interfunctional, like, community, and you really kind of have to look out for one another. So my heart hurt for her. Like,
this conversation is really emotional for me.
I have something to alleviate all the emotion. I am sorry for what I'm about to say. Well, not really, but why'd you name your daughter Shaquanilyn? Why'd you have to give her the Black name stereotype?
Listen, there's nothing wrong with Black names, though.
There isn't. Agreed. But it was just Shaquanilyn.
Girl, there are white people named, like, Layton. That's not a bad name. But there's, like, Lannister. Or, like, Gwyneth Paltrow named her baby Apple. You know what I'm saying? Like,
there is a child named Pilot Inspector walking this planet.
Yes, there is.
And I just feel like names are really... Yeah, seriously. But somebody gave that name because they felt it either had power or it was beautiful. Like, a name is... is a gift from your parents. And I think that what I really preach about hearing these types of names in shows is, like, it normalizes them. Yeah. It makes it not a ghetto name. Like you know Shakur, like, you know her story now, and you can put a name to that story. And that is a girl, like, who's been abused, who lost her dad, who was a vet. Like, how we could forget a vet's child, and now she's, like, sucked into prostitution. Like, I value that they gave her the name Shaquandalyn, because I think it's important.
I believe all names are a gift. I don't see any name as ghetto. At the end of the day, all names mean something. Like, Portia means offering. And I believe that I'm offering to the world. And it's not even offering in where the name came from. It came from Italy. But the Latin version of the name means offering. So even though we have these names that we put together, like Shaquanda and then Shaquanda and then Lynn, like, those two different names could probably mean something in Latin, German, Greek, or something that was powerful to her that she just so happened to put together, you know. You have to actually look at the root of things, because who knows that in a different language those names mean something, like, so extravagant to where, okay, this is about to take the city to another level. Because people, like, Nigerian names, like, some of those names sound like they could be, you know, quote-unquote black names. But at the end of the day, like, they all have a meaning, and all names are a gift, no matter where it came from. And if you don't like it, you can always change it.
Yeah, I love that they gave her that name, because I feel like it puts humanity behind, you know, the less easily lovable part of the black community. The part that, like, you know, not everyone, like, it's instantly assumed that ghetto is unlovable. Not that she's ghetto, but, like, those names are automatically associated with that. And I want to say it was Scandal that kind of covered it, where there was, they were talking about the missing girls in D.C., which is a real thing, and they were looking for a candidate to, like, be the face of it. And they literally were like, we can't use this name because it's too ghetto or whatever. And I love that.
I remember that scene.
Yeah, I love that they use this name, because it puts humanity behind those names. It puts humanity behind the non-picture-perfect black girl.
And it made your relationship with LaWanda even stronger, because it's just like, this woman is authentic to her truth. Like, she's not letting up. She letting you know how it is, who it is, why it is. And I'm from the hood. Like, we all in this. Like, and so that's why I developed a relationship with her that I wish I hadn't, because my heart was broken.
I just appreciate the fact that she, like, she wasn't afraid to, like, go up to the biggest person that, like, held her daughter's, like, fate in his hands. And she's like, look, you have to give my daughter back. I'm not leaving. I'm recording.
Absolutely.
Something has to happen. So you're either going to kill me or you're going to give my daughter back. Obviously, he chose the former. But
by doing so, made his own death sentence. Like, that's a powerful...
That was some dope stuff. He walked up in there like, you killing people's mamas? Yeah. Right? Like, you shooting
people's
mamas?
Y'all, I have the biggest crush on Tobias. I can't even talk about it.
I like him.
I love Tobias.
He rubs me the wrong way. When I see his face, I cringe. It's just like...
You know what's interesting about Tobias? There's something interesting that he did in tonight's episode when Lala's in his office, he says something, and Lala says, you hate black people. And he says, I don't hate black people. I hate. And then he just starts listing it, which essentially he's trying to say, like, the hood.
Yeah.
The hood people. Which I think is so interesting, because I feel like it's another thing that kind of...
But he wanted those people.
Yeah, exactly. But that's another layer.
Multiple questions.
I think it reflects on how corporations and... You know, like, even, like, a perfect example is, like, tobacco companies. They target these hood, these hood neighborhoods and stuff, and that's where they get all their money. But at the same time, like, they're not hiring people. They're not helping people. Like, they're only dismantling and, like, not helping them. And I feel like it was kind of an interesting thing that he said that, because it's, like, this whole classism thing within...
Now, Tobias is albino, right?
Yeah.
So the interesting thing about this, so on multiple fronts, Tobias becomes a very interesting character, because he cannot pass for white, even though he's albino. Like, he has very distinct, like, African features.
Yeah.
It's interesting that this is the first albino male I've seen in a predominant role on television. So I was watching with my roommate, and she was, I guess, concerned that... Well, her concern is that, like... In certain countries, like, albinism is seen as, like, witchcraft and evil. Mm-hmm. And so to have a villain be albino, like, does that create, like, a weird stereotype or lean in too hard to a stereotype? So I'll be interested to see if they touch that, if that's the reason that Tobias is the way he is, or if that's even a part of his narrative at all. It's also interesting because... Like, there's a thought that, like, oh, he hates black people. So does this come from his actions or from his albinism?
Well, no, Tobias, I think Tobias is black, but he's also albino. I think that that also, when it comes to the fact that, oh, he doesn't like black people, it could be because of the fact that they treated him that way. Like, he doesn't fit in.
So now it's probably some deeply rooted stuff.
Yeah, so now that he's running them, oh, he's calling the shots now. But correct me if I'm
wrong. I thought albino was black people. I thought albino people were black people.
Albino just means you lack pigment in your skin and hair.
Yeah, but you're black.
You too. He's definitely still black.
Well, not necessarily.
He's black, but albinos can be any race. So he's, race,
yeah, you can be any race and be albino and have no pigment. Let me not. That's okay. Just because you haven't seen it doesn't mean it's not there. If you want to see albino,
that's why you watch Greatest Showman. There you go.
Oh, yeah.
That's true.
There's a woman in that movie.
She looks flawless, by the way. it was flawless.
Because all the albinos I've seen all have curly hair. And so I assume them to be black. That's why, you know. But...
I think the dynamic of Tobias, like, and how he treats his workers, not necessarily his two henchmen, because he kind of has a different relationship with them. Like, not that we've gone too deeply into it, but, like, just...
But that's definitely establishing a weird and interesting relationship.
Yeah.
Because both his henchmen are white, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a male and a female. We got to get into Tobias' backstory. Like, I'm endlessly fascinated by this man.
She dope.
I like her a lot.
She like it. She just speaks power without saying nothing.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
like totally she agree. Just. Oh. Wow.
Why?
He looked like power.
Y'all oh wow! Yes. I didn't see that. He legit looks like power.
That's crazy.
That's awesome.
But I'm interested to see how the season goes.
That's crazy. I shouldn't have said that.
I'm interested to see as the season goes on, like if there is some weird like. Dynamic there because his two henchmen are white. There is a obvious disdain for the lower class black community from Tobias. So,
but some people are asking if he's self-hating in a sense
that
and that's a big question.
If you are black and you hate black people, you are self-hating by definition. So yes,
yeah,
I totally agree. But I want to mention something somebody mentioned from last week that we really didn't touch on real quick. But the fact that you know Roland Martin, he mentioned that Black Lightning's a vigilante, but if somebody else like who has superpowers, they're seen as a hero. Mm-hmm. But my question is now that we're like technically not in the Arrowverse, what are the other superheroes technically in this, you know, sphere, this universe?
It'll be interesting to see who pops up where. Yeah. Based on some future guest appearances, it looks like we'll be broadening out into the DC universe. Who and when they'll show up, we don't know yet. But I don't think that line was meant to be so specific. I really think it was meant just to establish a general worldview at this point, and that we may get into that later. But yeah.
Yeah. So we talked about Anissa. Let's talk about Jennifer for a second. I have a question for you guys. I started
asking. I love Jennifer Boo.
And she was like, no, don't say anything yet. Okay. Do you think Jennifer hasn't tapped into her power yet, like Anissa, because Jennifer's self-medicating with alcohol and weed, and she's kind of suppressing everything.
Yeah.
Yeah, I totally agree. I agree. I feel like when you do those type of things, they really have affecting your body. Like, especially powers can be affected by drugs and alcohol. And so when you try to put all those things together, your powers haven't come into fruition yet.
And that's just in life, period. When you... going through some stuff and you had trauma and a whole bunch of brokenness and you medicating yourself with drugs and alcohol, you ain't got no strength. You ain't got no power. You can't operate in purpose. You can't use your passions. Like, everything is like, if that's your means of medication, if that's what you go to, then you are weak at that point.
And I also don't think that self-medicating is not going to take your pain away, guys. Like, it'll dull it, it'll numb it, but it doesn't take the pain away. So until you deal with it, you're always going to be self-medicating. You're always going to be looking for that next thing to numb it until you actually physically and fully mentally deal with it. Otherwise, it's going to drag you down. Stronger.
I like the way they dealt with that, though. Like, I'm not going to lie.
It's
like,
so real, though, because people do that every day.
Well, not even just the self-medicating, but the drinking, like, in between classes and shit, like... Ah, hilarious. And classic throwback moments, you know? If he was wilding out in high school, shout outs. especially on like some cheap champagne.
My people watch this. I don't want them to know. Sorry, Mom.
I might have drove them around.
Just the cheap champagne, the brown paper bag, like hanging with your girl in between classes.
Under the bleachers.
Totally.
Like, just leaving school, period. Like,
yeah. She could have been
school to go turn up. Like,
I used to just walk right off the campus. Like,
I went to Cross Street from the school, so it was awesome, man. Let me just... my mom's not watching it, so we're good. So I just walked across the street. But I do love the fact that Khalil was the one that brought it to Jennifer's attention. Like, Khalil. Like, he, like... First of all, Khalil can get it. And second of all, I said it before anybody else said it. Swear jaw, probably, Ivan. I'm sorry. Khalil can get it, but let's talk about, like, just how powerful he was with that. He's like, look, my dad's in jail. My brother got shot. My mom was crazy. But, like, I'm trying to do what I can do. I can run really fast. And all I'm going to do is get out of here and look at this through my rearview mirror. And, and you have it all, but you're focusing on the trauma instead of trying to get better from it.
He
and
not only said that. He said, you got to get it together because I want you to run with me.
Yeah, that was so cute. And he didn't have a shirt on. I think we all
smoothed it that way. Really, we could learn a lot from this little boy because, first of all, you know... First of all, he pursued her. We need these guys to start pursuing
us. He was her friend first.
He was her friend first. Mm. He built the friendship, and he already, you know, was feeling those vibes.
He's the best. And then
not only that, he had an eye-opening experience when something traumatic happened to her. So not only did it affect her, but it affect him and his heart because at the end of the day, you're my friend and I already like you and I'm about to pursue you and you almost got taken away from me. Like, no, this is what we're going to do. I'm going to pull you in closer. You're going to be my girlfriend. I'm going to get you some gifts and I'm going to get you together because I'm going to be able to hold you through this. And that's what he did. Because she was drunk. And he got out that treadmill. He put on that shirt and he pulled her to the heart.
I have several points to make.
Ooh, I would have laid on that sweat too.
What? No, he's like, here's your gift, now the kiss. Like, that's, I love that scene. I'm sorry, that scene on the roof was just a scene.
It was
scene.
So beautiful. His and then the scene in the gym, I'm just, I love you, man.
Y'all really into it. Okay, several points. One, the whole, like, little gift thing was so, it was just damn adorable and definitely took me back. Like, y'all remember getting your first gift? Like, oh, this is, oh, I loved your like, so lovely. Two, I was really, really, really happy. Happy to go on the IMDb and discover that this was not a 17-year-old boy, but a 27-year-old man.
Yes.
And I was like, thank you, Jesus.
He was pretty
gross.
Is he psycho?
I don't know, but I'm not gross.
I'm fabulous, y'all.
You're fabulous, yes.
My third thing about Khalil is
this is my
like,
first time seeing him.
This is a school uniform.
It's on Hulu. Check out I'm Fabulous on Hulu.
Okay.
And I think it's on Amazon Prime. Just check it out. Like we watched it.
So. He had his shirt off on there, too.
We were kids when that shirt
came out. We were kids. It was like Emma Roberts. Like when she
was like 10 on that show.
Her singing career.
He just was beautiful, okay?
He is great. But being sweaty on somebody's school uniform, which they have to wear two or three times a week, is not cute.
I'm bathing in that sweat, okay? Hug me again.
I have to wear this tomorrow, boo. So you go take a shower, and we can talk after.
Yes.
That was a really good scene, though. I like their dynamic. Like, he doesn't care that she is the queen of Garfield. He's going to give it to her straight up, and, like, I appreciate that as well. Like, just because, like, now we're... So together. I'm also going to still be your friend and still tell you when you're about to ruin your life when you're spiraling.
It also doesn't feel like a CW relationship, which is great. Because CW sets up their relationships where you're like, so y'all are either going to cheat, have a dramatic breakup, or something is going to happen like in 3 to 5 episodes and then you'll be with somebody else and then another 3 to 5 episodes you'll change again. Yeah. Until finally, like one day you just randomly decide to get married, which is fun in certain contexts and can be a lot of like
interesting things,
but CW has a style. I'm not ripping on it. I've enjoyed several of their shows, but man, it's refreshing. Black Lightning feels like it's for grown-ups, and I really appreciate having a superhero show for adults. It as somebody who absorbs a lot of superhero content, it's really lovely to see not just like gorgeous black skin, but like gorgeous brains at work here, like not just behind the scenes creating like really engaging stories, but on screen having like these really tough, challenging conversations that like Jefferson and Lynn have, or like I just really appreciate all the context Black Lightning gives us.
If we break it all down, like Lynn and Jefferson, she's on and off with his powers. She support him, but she don't. Then we got Jennifer and Khalil is his name. Mm-hmm. It's like he's there. He supports her full on and strong. And then we got Anissa and her girl, and it's like she support her, but she's needy. Yeah. Like she got needs. You know?
It's a situationship. You know? They're not even in a relationship. They're in a situationship.
And this is the problem. But even with her trauma and stuff, like. Mm-hmm. like, you know, she, you see her going through, like, and you see she's not on that want to be public with the relationship stuff. So just, you know, you walked into that, you accepted it. So play your role and be there for her.
That is some bullshit.
No, she's saying straight up, I want a relationship, and I'm just letting you know, I'm gonna give you this time to heal. I already told you it wasn't the right time to bring it up, but you leaned into me and you asked me to be honest with you. So here's my truth. What I want from you is a relationship. I want to see your family, and I want you to come see mine. I want us to be together. Your parents can't even remember my name. Like, this is a situationship, and it's just not going to work out for her. And that's why I say, like, you need to leave and find somebody who is comfortable with these terms and agreements.
Right. That's what I'm saying. Because you settled for it and you stayed, even though y'all probably previously had this conversation, that's on you. If somebody show you who they are, believe them and keep it pushing.
Okay,
you decided to stay.
I will.
So play your role.
I will say, though, with this whole Jennifer Khalil thing, and I don't know if I'm just, like, a pessimist in all of this, but when a character normally in the DC CW universe is, gets set up in such a positive light, we see that
don't bring this up,
listen,
girl.
Listen, stay with me. When he has...
Why did you do that? We know.
Because y'all know I'm right.
We know, but we don't want to hear
say
it.
Say that for prediction. No, say
my heart be dropping.
Drop it down. When they set a character up like this that you like so much, there's some sort of trinket or some sort of representation of their love, the necklace... Mm-hmm. And you see that he's got these future plans, and you know that the character's powers are normally activated by some type of trauma or anger or negative emotion, and the homegirl's powers haven't been triggered yet.
Oh no, girl!
Somebody mentioned in the chat, but ignoring it because I was afraid. But why do you have to say this?
You gotta be real with the
people. And when a man is that fine, you know CW never lets us have them.
Also, we learned this episode that you could just lose anyone at any time.
I told y'all in relationships you can't build a relationship with me, but Khalil was fine.
I'm gonna go ahead and let it go right now.
I'm gonna let it go. Now get my hopes up because my heart already beating fast.
Because we got three deaths this episode. We got Will. We got LaWanda.
And he took Will out like that wasn't even his cousin.
Right? Yeah. He's like,
Will done messed up. Like,
but Will deserved it. I don't like Will.
I was saying, like you were saying with relationships, that's what I feel like when you get into gang territory. Like, y'all know you're not supposed to snitch. You know, you're not supposed to run. You know, you're not supposed to do anything your leader didn't say. Like, there are just very basic, simple rules. Don't jack that up. We broke all three of them in a matter of 24 hours, so it's over. And you gotta die.
Clearly, the amount of impact a character has on this show doesn't matter because I low key thought Lala, we are gonna have him a couple more episodes.
Ooh, I thought Lala was gonna be a whole season long villain.
They took him out quick.
Yeah, I thought he was gonna be like they've done before, where he's, you know, the day to day villain, and then Tobias is like
the overall
season finale showdown villain. Yeah. And they took him out in episode 2. So I'm just saying.
I mean, we got more villains coming.
Jefferson said straight up, what I came to do was shut Tobias down. Yeah. So it'll be interesting to see if he's able to do that season 1 or not.
The fact that Tobias and his little strong neck self then walk into the whole police station, past the guards, into the prison.
Wait a second. Strong neck?
I love that saying.
Like, y'all know that man's strong. Yeah. But...
With a strong face to match, okay?
He walked up in that mug. The police, they let him into the cell, and he took that man out.
Like, even the guy who was watching just let him, like, let him open, like, here you go, sir.
Were you like, how much stop him?
How much power do you have?
Oh, my God.
For the police station to let you in and take somebody out in their house.
Apparently, yeah, he has protection over, the rib shacks, the Chinese stores, the massage parlors. He has protection over everything.
So I'm shooting my shot.
It's not exactly... It's not surprising that he does have, like, cops on the payroll. Like, when you have that much power, you have to have cops on the payroll.
I feel that.
Well, like, when you have
that
much power,
when he got going away.
When you have that much power and that much money, and especially he's doing behind the scenes, like, nobody knows that he's really over the 100. Like, everybody thought that Lyle was over the 100, but it's actually, like, Tobias is running the show, so nobody really knows
that. So
that's
a lot of what LaWanda was saying coming back to us again, because LaWanda's like, I don't give a F about the police. Like, they're not going to do anything.
And they don't care.
And she's right, because
Henderson ain't
pocket.
Nothing. Y'all, let's talk about Henderson, because first of all, he's shady. First of all,
I have so many questions.
Don't like no punk A word, N word, okay? And that's what he is to me right now. because at the end of the day, you have power. You are a detective. You run this. You need to be making moves happen. Why, when he told you, were you going to go help LaWanda? Oh, it's nothing I can do. She's setting it up for herself. Like, excuse me? That's what you say? You ain't going to go out there and stand out there with her. You scared of the mugs, too? You scared of everybody else, too? You scared of Lala and Tobias and everybody else? And everything he had to say about Lala was, oh, he got an alibi for this. He got an alibi for that. Like, when don't this man have an alibi for you?
But I'm a police officer. But I have to go. You only go by the facts that are in front of me.
You know they don't go by no facts.
I'm not going to protect Henderson, but I will say, as a detective, he does have rules he has to follow, unfortunately. And those rules do sometimes prevent actual things from that needs to happen. And that's a sad fact of our justice system.
But you're
really
not
is.
Doing your job, though.
I mean, he's doing his job as best of his ability.
Kind of. So I agree with you that he cannot do all of the things on the checklist. Like, it's not all there. But you could have gone down there and got LaWanda.
Yeah.
Like, there is literally nothing stopping you from driving down to talk to LaWanda. Now, to be fair, just to play devil's advocate, he does go to Jefferson and say, hey, can you please go get your girl? Like, it's a problem.
Yeah.
You know? So he did to get someone to intervene. But I also feel like, you're all, like, go down there yourself. Like, call Jefferson from the car. Like, keep a police officer on that chick and be like, ma'am, we would prefer you not die. Mm-hmm. We are really working hard to get your daughter. Like, let's talk about different ways we can go. But to be fair, doubly fair, LaWanda was also like, look, I'm done waiting on all. I've been asking, and now it's time for me to take some action. Yeah. I won't ask.
But even with the whole community thing, like, yeah, Henderson not doing his job, but at the same time, he did let us in on some insight of what's going on in the community. Mm-hmm. And he let us know, like, all right, he go and save these girls. He arrests the men. The girls lie and say that they ain't forced to do nothing. And then the girls go back to him. And he's saying, basically, like, their minds are enslaved to being, taken, abducted, molested, raped, prostituted, all this stuff. He's like, it's a mind thing that they have with these men because they got a hold on them. And once you got a hold on somebody's mind, you can't change that as much. Like, it's hard for the community to change. And I believe that even though he talked about that and that in the whole prostitute realm and the girls being abducted and all of that, I believe that actually goes for the community as a whole. They all enslaved in the mind and they feel like they can't come out of it, and that's why they're not breaking free.
Do you think he knows Jefferson is Black Lightning?
Everybody's asking that in the chat.
I think he's suspicious.
He looked at him a little cross-eyed when he held his hands up.
Jennifer even mentioned that, like, she had a hard time looking at him, and I was wondering if that had to do... Some people, like, I was reading online, because people were asking, and the creators have said, like, we'll understand it later on, but, like, they haven't really explained it yet. But I'm wondering if maybe, like, it's, like, the lightning... like aspect of it, because
while we can see it, because at the end of the day, I see that beard, I see that round face, I know what it looked like with and without glasses, so why I can't tell the difference?
Like, but that's the same thing about Superman. Like, all he did was take off some glasses and he's Superman, but nobody knew that. Same thing with Power Rangers. They gave him some weight. All they did was wear the same freaking colors as the Power Rangers all the time.
I wonder if it's almost like the Barry Allen thing, where Barry Allen in The Flash, like, when he's talking to someone or when he's, like, face-to-face with someone, he does the whole, like, shimmy-shimmy Cocoa Puffs thing.
He does.
But why don't it have that effect on us? Like, if it's like that for them, wouldn't they show it to us like that on TV? Or they didn't have that kind of money? I'm sorry.
Maybe they might not have had that kind of money.
Or maybe it wasn't in the budget is what I meant to say in a more professional manner.
Somebody. Or maybe it would be weird. Like, it would be... because his voice does get distorted when he talks.
Yeah.
So we have that at least. But maybe, like, they just don't want to... they, like, want us to be able to take him out.
But,
like,
you're supposed to always give stuff at a different viewpoint. Because I want to see what Jennifer looking at and why she can't tell that that's her dad.
Well, I'm sure we might... you know what I'm saying? I'm sure we might actually end up seeing that at some point. Because the creator said we will see why... like, there's a reason that she said that. Like, we're going to see it.
Today it reads to me like just based off what they have presented, it just reads to me like, but it couldn't possibly be right, though. Because, like, if I saw my dad in, like, a super suit, I'd be like,
no.
I would be aware. Yeah. I would know. Like, I know you, so that can't be you. I'd be very
confused.
Know
that's my... I would know, like, just... the way his beard is so distinct.
It really is. Like,
daddy, why you wearing spandex?
Seeing the face and the beard and the buildup, like, I would know that's my daddy.
Okay.
You know?
All right.
I mean...
I will say that... oh, go ahead.
Someone in the chat said that China did talk about heartbreak, so we will be seeing it. Shout out to Ivan in the chat. So she will be having heartbreak. It might be by Khalil. We will might find out.
I'm gonna just write it out. We'll find out.
I will say that fight scene was very satisfying. I love a good, just everything. everything about Black Lightning going up to, like, beat Lala's ass was so satisfying because it was so black. Oh. Like, down from, like, the doorman being, like, Black Lightning, my man.
Oh, my God. All the people in the street, like, yeah, Black Lightning, he's so fine.
Right. Well, yeah. Okay. Here's the thing. Everybody let him in.
Y'all are so young. But have you guys seen 70s blaxploitation films before? Like Coffee or Superflash? Okay. Shaft is a good one.
Last Dragon count.
What did you just say to me?
The Last Dragon.
The Last Dragon does not count. That's a kung fu movie.
Okay, well, that's all I got.
Okay. Y'all should watch some blaxploitation films. This went straight. As soon as I heard the music, I was like, oh, is it time?
Exactly.
Is it time? And then it was. I was like, this is everything. This is what I wanted. From the door guy to the dude in the elevator. He'd be like, now I gotta run up some stairs. I'm getting old. I said, what is happening here?
Really?
This scene made so much better by the previous scene where he has to go to him as Jefferson and be like, look, we had a deal. He gets that ever-living snot beaten out of him for no reason. I love seeing a man come into his own, and this was like a beautiful moment of him being like, I am actually Black Lightning right now, and I'm going to live that truth, and it was wonderful.
Because it was so like, it was such a almost like Shaft moment where it was like, you jive ass turkey, like, and I loved every second of it, and I love that we're getting legitimate fight scenes, and I hope that it continues to be like dope ass fight scenes, because on other shows, we've had it, and then slowly but surely, like, they kind of, like, get less and less eventful.
Here's the thing that I find really interesting. So, Mara is coming back to the CW for the third time, and the first time, they cut girlfriends off a season early. Wrong. I still check you sideways for that, y'all. No. It was rude. I still haven't gotten my girlfriend's movie to resolve some issues, and I need it. The second time, it was when the merger happened, and it became the CW. She had the game on. They were like, hey, half-hour series. Super great. We're getting rid of those. We're switching to hour-long drama. She said, let me give you a game finale that will knock your socks off. They said, we don't want it. She had to go to BET. We all know what happened to the game there.
R.I.P.
I feel like Mara does not come back to this network a third time without having laying down some very clear rules about how she's willing and ready to operate into the future. Now, she's not the main person in charge. You know, she still does have to answer to the network. But I'm really hoping that they allow her to continue to flourish in her truth, because we saw how good Mary Jane worked when she was allowed to do that.
Yeah, I absolutely agree.
Shout out to Black Magic, Black Magic 99. He was like, I love what Jefferson said. Don't mistake my patience for weakness, boy.
That has been my motto all day.
Let's say something. People think kindness, patience, certain things that just show you as a calm being is a weakness, and I really think people should realize it is not a weakness. I had to grow up with like people thinking that I'm really weak, and please believe it is not the truth. I just pick and choose my battles. Mm. Which battles are more important to me? That's the biggest question in life. What I'm gonna choose to allow
in your spirit. Happen
in my spirit, because sometimes you're not worth it. I'm sorry to tell you, it's a sad fact of life. You're really not worth my time.
It's not even that sad. I've already moved on.
Yeah. And why should I worry? Like anger, having anger in your life and having that much anger, it takes so much energy out of you. I wish people realize if you have that much anger in you, it takes a lot more energy than it wants to just let it go. Let it go, and your life would be astoundingly
you
can't more happy.
Waste your energy or your time on nobody that have nothing to do with your purpose, your money, or your destiny, okay?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
It ain't worth it.
So we are getting close to wrapping up, but I know we always have such a good time in here. But I wanted to say we saw in the preview that Jill Scott is coming on next week.
But no, I didn't
see the preview. What happened in the preview?
There's a photo of her.
There's a march that's going on. Jill Scott is like, oh, Black Lightning.
Hi,
like
in her the preview. Soulfulness. So Jill Scott is coming on.
You didn't stay tuned.
Dang, I need to go watch that.
Jill Scott, we got a photo, first look. She's playing Lady Eve, who is, it sounds like she's bigger. She's bigger and badder than Tobias, is what it's looking like. She's the owner of a funeral parlor, and she's bridging the gap between the 100.
Funeral parlor?
Yeah, that's like her cover. She's bridging the gap between the 100 gang and this secret group of corrupt leaders. So
this gives me so much.
She's bridging a gap, as in bringing them together.
She's connecting them. So I don't think Tobias is gonna be the biggest, baddest thing Black Lightning's gonna have to worry about.
But that's gonna be our Black Mariah, y'all.
Yes. But that is my prediction, as well as the Khalil RIP. I think you're not sticking with us long. What is your all's predictions?
Oh, she is Tobias's mother figure. Thank you, Ivan. Oh, that's an interesting dynamic in and of itself.
I'm about this.
I want to see how like how he interacts with
Jill.
That
no, Jill. No. Y'all can't be bringing people all here being a bad people. I like good people. I want to keep liking Jill.
I mean, I think she's going to be that character we like. You know, you have those characters you love to hate, and like the fact that you hate them is the why you love them. It's almost like Cookie in Empire. Like for some people, they
oh no, I love Cookie.
Well, I mean,
Cookie. Ain't no hate.
I love Cookie too. I mean, oh, Phyllis, Felicia Rashard's character.
Oh,
that's a better example.
Oh no, I hate. First of all,
she was showing out.
That was classy and just like you
ain't no love.
Take masterclass right now, watch Empire. Like that's what you do when you're watching Felicia Rashard. Like it's like take masterclass.
I respect it. I think Anissa is ready to use them powers. I think she broke a kitchen sink. She threw a bad guy. She's ready for a costume.
Yes.
And I think that as soon as Lynn realizes her children are superpowers, she's going to have to swallow some hard pills and decide how she wants to remain in these kids' lives. Because at the very least, Anissa is actionable. Like, Anissa's not sitting down. Like, she's not going to take a back seat. We saw she's already ready to put on her military gear and skip the school function so she could bring peace to the world. I'm ready to see her in a suit fighting along Daddy. I'm ready.
I totally agree. I think she's going to embrace everything that comes with these powers. However, Jennifer might take some getting used to, like I predicted last week, because she's still, like I said, she's still a teenager, and like she's still going to have to emotionally, she's really just going to have to like go through like stop self-medicating and really, you know, pay attention to her emotions, because I think she's really good at hiding her emotions and trying to be what everybody needs.
Always instead cool of like aloof girl.
Yeah, but instead of like just dealing with them and like when she does get those powers and the powers actually come into play, she's going to have to deal with it. There's no hiding. There is no, oh, I can just put it back down now because they're out.
The other thing is she's very young by comparison to when I believe Jefferson gets his powers in college when he's dating Lynn. Obviously, Anissa's in post-grad. We know she gets her powers, but I think to get them will be extraordinary. She'll be much younger than either of her relatives. So I'll be interested to see how fast she moves from, like, her kind of trying to suppress her feelings to being able to control those powers, and if it's harder for her because she's younger.
Eon001 said, what are her powers? According to the comic book, she's supposed to have a replica of Black Lightning. She's supposed to be
lightning. Yeah.
So Anissa's thunder. So
which I hear that boom clash. You should do that, guys. Amazing.
So when China did the opening narrative, she was like, because we know when he got pulled over, he was like, this is a night that thunder and lightning were witness to that first. So Anissa's thunder and Jennifer's going to be lightning. However, I agree with you about the whole Lynn thing. She's going to have to swallow some pills because, baby, you kind of knew. You knew your man had powers. Now you had kids with him, so you have to probably assume one of your kids, maybe not both, but one of your kids is going to get it.
At least one.
So you can, like, and this is like you said, she's grown. She's gonna do what she want to do. She's like, I got these powers now, and I can actually be like, I can do what I want. Like, I'm sick and tired of being sick and tired. She really will let you know.
All right, Portia, your prediction.
This is rocky, but I really do feel like the villain thing is going to keep going up. I feel like Tobias is going to be taken out sooner than later, and then he's going to have to fight another person, and then it's going to be another person and another person. I feel like it's going to keep going up because the way that the villains are all falling like that is just like, no.
Yeah.
I mean, if he can take Lala out in the second episode, you think you're about to last, you know, like, no. So, I mean, yeah, I think he's just going to keep going up with the villain thing. And that's pretty much about it. Like, Anissa, yeah, y'all basically said everything. She about to be with that uniform on. She gonna go to Gambi, like, well, she gonna tell her daddy and he gonna introduce her to Gambi, and that's gonna happen like that, you know, unless they already know him as somebody else.
I'm looking forward to an upgrade for Gambi's equipment, technical stuff, because he's like, I can hack into anything. I'm like, let's see, Gambi, like, I'm ready. I love Gambi. I stand for him. Nothing can happen to him or I'm gonna be pissed.
Justice for Gambi.
We'll
be throwing hands if something happens to him. But you guys let us know what you all think in the comments. We'd love to hear your all's predictions. My name is Drew Jones. You can follow me on all the things at OKDrewJ. And where can they find you ladies at?
You can find me at Real Shea Jones on Twitter and Instagram. Love Shea Butter on Snapchat.
Hey guys, I'm Joel Monique. Find me all over the internet at Joel Monique. Every week at blackgirlnerds.com. Tune in Tuesday. I'm going to be at the Black Panther junket, y'all. Hey. Michael B. Jordan and I are finally in the same room.
Oh, Lord.
Believe there's going to be pictures.
I want to see. Oh, I've got to watch this. All right, y'all, it's Portia. You can find me on all social media at Portia Carter. Thank y'all so much for watching. And make sure y'all tune in to Counterpart at 6 o'clock on Sunday because I'm on that after show panel, too.
Thank you. Bye, guys.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later!
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.